This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Dr. Andy Schell, the Prophet Doctor, I should say, and I'm proud to say my sponsor of the CMB program. How are you doing, friend?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing awesome. Doing awesome. Crazy day today, huh?
Oh, I'm thinking about all the margin calls and how many times have you and I stressed it's so important that people start doing stress testing. Oh, that'll never happen. That's happening. So.
Well, there's three things I want to talk about today. So I'll start with the margin call issue. So yep. Margin calls in and of themselves are not a bad thing. I know it sounds really bad, and if you don't have the cash around, it can be a bad thing. But the margin call simply means that your short position has lost money. And that happens when rates go down. Anytime rates go down, the hedge position loses money. But at the same time, remember, the loans in process value go up. So the loan sale gain goes up, the hedge goes down. The margin call is simply a collateral realignment where the investment bank says, hey, your position's out of money, we need more collateral. If rates were to shoot back up, then the short position would gain value and you could get your money back. So it's simply a collateral management. It's a temporary situation. Also, as your loans close and it looks like rates aren't dropping, so that's a good thing. That means you're going to be able to hold your embedded gain on sale in all of the locks. So even if there is a short position loss, it's offset by a larger loan sale gain. So it's just a timing issue. You'll get your money back. The real challenge happens when it's a lower volume time and customers want what we call a free float down, where we actually give them a lower rate. That's a whole strategy in and of itself that we can talk about some other time. But it looks like rates are holding, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And this margin call is simply temporary. And even just a few moments ago, you said it about Barry Habib and MBS Quote Line is mentioning about a possible rate reset, rates going up, unfavorable rate change. To have an unfavorable rate change, that means that rates are going back up. To have a margin call, that means rates are going back down. So you don't typically see both those things at the same time. But this
right.
is simply, you know, volatility from uncertainty creates unpredictable changes. And having two things that happen oppositely happening at the same time is just a reflection of that uncertainty and volatility. So actually, if you did get a margin call, I would go back and look at current MBS prices and see
right.
at what MBS price the call was established and maybe reset the margin call to price right this very moment, and it may eliminate the need for the call. But just check. Make sure you got it right.
If they don't know how to do that, call you. Call Andy Schell.
Yeah, give me a call. We can figure it out. Hey, about me and teaching, though, the Mortgage Accounting webinar starts this Wednesday.
Oh,
we've
yeah,
got
wonderful.
Five sessions. Yeah, starting again, five sessions, and we're going to cover everything about mortgage accounting from funding sources, warehouse line lender relationships, all the way through interest rate lock commitment, fair value calculations, cash flow, how to know if the security price changes are appropriately reflected in the financial statements. So this first week, this Wednesday, you can go to mba.org education, live webinars, and sign up. For MBA members, it is the whopping fee of $1, and they give you a $1 credit after you sign up. They couldn't offer it for free because the system didn't handle it. So you pay $1, you get $1 credit. So you could basically, it's free to members. It's one way that MBA gives back to its members.
I love
it. It's
probably
now providing free access to this important topic, mortgage accounting.
It's so important, especially in times like this, Andy Schell. Dr. Andy Schell.
Well, Dave, thank you very much. And I'm very excited to be your CMB sponsor and excited to work with you to get through all of the content, which you probably already know in the back of your mind anyway, but we'll get through the exam. So if I've got just another, I don't know what time I started. I don't know how much more time I have.
That's right. Take it. We've got Chris coming on here in just a minute, and we're going to go with him as long as it takes. Oh, Christy Moss just texted me. I'm listening now, Dave. I'm listening. She wants to listen. Oh, thank you, Christy. Got one more thing. Shoot out. Andy, go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit further reflection of what Alan just said, and that's about in times like this where we've got high volatility, one of the things that helps us address uncertainty is flexibility. Organizational dynamics is what I call it, and it's part of the stuff that I teach. Organizational dynamics means flexibility in your workflow, and that means the ability to adjust, adapt, respond, and retool on the fly. So because we're in mortgage lending, we have volume goes up, volume goes down, we have staffing goes up, staffing goes down. That's just kind of normal. That happens when we have a refi wave and other things. What's new now, though, is now we have staffing at home or staffing in the office, mm-hmm. a completely new dynamic. And for some companies that have web-based LOSs with digital docs, you could probably actually pull it off, and you might have to deal with some IT things like making static IP addresses and some other stuff. But it's possible to deal with that. But have you planned for it? Have you done your pandemic strategy? Now, this is new for mortgage lending. Commercial banks have been planning for pandemics forever, my entire career just about. This is something that you think about. Mortgage companies, not so much. But it starts with just having a structure. I know Alice talks about this some. Having a standardized process with your workflow. So when you create the workflow, you have to define the most efficient workflow, and then you communicate what's designed, and then you enforce it. That's the place where most mortgage companies fail. They don't enforce workflow design. They basically let the originator do whatever they want to do, which means then that the processor has to deal with the file however the originator submits it. That will never create standardization, never create workflow efficiency, ! So says the profit doctor. You have to do it differently than that. And I'm hearing Alice go, yes. So what you have to do is you have to create this cross functionality. You have to have the ability for one processor to support another originator. You have to be able to have this cross pollinization. And that then means that even if everybody's at home, everybody can still support each other and support others to deal with volume spikes. So basically, we have to identify the 1003 and make it so we all are consistent. Like, let me end with a statement. Successful companies standardize workflow to create organizational flexibility. Embracing organizational dynamics, understanding the parts, creates flexibility. That's what successful companies do. That's what you got to do to be successful. So there you go, Dave. That's the Profit Doctor.
Good job, Profit Doctor. Appreciate it so much. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, the CMLA, Indicom, as well as Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Modex, Velma, Vendor Surf, and Vidyard. Have a great week, everyone. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.